Hey, George, I know this is a little unorthodox, but is it possible to go one of the very last slides as a gospel slide? Would you go to that one? I know it's like 100 down. I don't know if you can just do an end or something like that while I'm... But if you could, and if there's anybody back there that could get me a little water, that would be really fantastic. We serve one another joyfully in Jesus' name. The gospel slide near the very end. Yeah, it should be down there. Up. Should say gospel on it. Hence the gospel slide. Okay, thanks. Okay, so just really quickly, I just want to go over this. You know, we're singing these songs, and I'm so glad that you're doing that. That's wonderful, because you're singing to the Lord, right? That's who we're supposed to be singing to. We're not just singing a song. We're singing just hymns of praise and speaking that to him. And so, you know, that one song that was really kind of fun, that there were a lot of new songs today, but hey, when we all get to heaven, right? Wasn't that a great song? When we all... Okay, so I was like Jim and jamming, and okay. Anyway, okay, maybe I'm not the coolest, but... All right, so I was jamming in my own semi-cool pastorly way. And I want to just make sure that everybody understand this. That's when we all get to heaven. That's for those of us who have been born again, who have bended our knee to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, you're not saved because you come to church, right? You're not even saved because you come to Home Fellowship Church or youth group or Shepherd's Art Christian School. You're not saved because we dunk you in water. Okay, you are saved because you've committed your heart and life. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Does that make sense to everybody? I just don't want anybody ever leaving this place thinking, hey, we all get to heaven. We can live whatever way we want. Who cares what Jesus thinks? I'll do what I please and keep... You know what I'm saying? So... Thank you so much. So listen, here's the bottom line. Here's the gospel. If ever wondered, what's the gospel of Jesus Christ? I don't get it. What is this big deal? Here's what it is. First off, God created us to be with him. Okay, that was the main thing. When he originally created us, there was no sin, no death, and you know, he created us to have fellowship together. Okay, you guys remember the deal, Adam and Eve, they... did the one thing that God told them not to do. You can do everything else, have every blessing, just don't do this one thing. And like each one of us, we've all gone astray. And so that sin separates us from a holy God. The Bible says, listen, that you're a sinner. Well, I don't like you calling me that, Pastor. Well, guess what? I'll encourage you. I'm a sinner too. The Bible says that there's no one righteous, not even one. So if you think you're a really good person, can I tell you something? The Bible says, you're not that good because God looks at the motives of your heart, right? So none of us are righteous, and that sin separates us from God. And so our sins can't be removed by good works. The Bible says that you're not going to be saved by doing as many good works as you can. We have to work our way to God. That's what every religion says, but the gospel isn't like that. Our sins can't be removed by good works, only by receiving what God has done for us. It's a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 says, so that nobody can boast. It's a gift from him. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died on the cross and rose again. He shed that blood for your sin. Every sin that you've committed, every sin that you're going to commit, he died on that cross. That blood was shed for him. He gave his life for you. The punishment that you deserve for your sin and I deserve for my sin, he took upon himself. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords said, I want you to be with me. I don't want you to spend eternity in hell. I want you to be with me. And he said, if anyone would come to him, anyone who believes in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Not only did he die to pay for all those sins, but he lived a perfect life. And he did that for you as a substitution. It's incredible. But not only that, the Bible, of course, says that everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. You're not saved by Pastor Darren, by your friend that brought you here, by Home Fellowship Church, or a denomination that you used to belong to or belong to. You're saved by Jesus Christ, him alone. It says there's no other name given to men by which we must be saved in Acts chapter 4:12. And then finally, life with Jesus starts here and now and lasts forever. And so I just want to encourage you, let's just all, this is, I know, completely backwards, but this is what the Lord prompted me to do as we were singing that song. So we're just going to trust him, and we're just going to close our eyes for a second. I just want you to start praying. For those of you know Jesus, you have committed your heart and life to him, I just want you to start praying. Just right now, just close your eyes and pray for those in here who have not yet done that, who have not yet bent their knee to him, who've not yet committed their life to him, that maybe just be religious or maybe just have gone to church. I pray, Lord, your word says today is the day of salvation. And if we hear your voice, if you're calling to somebody right now, Lord, saying, you know you're not right with me. I want to reconnect you to me. I want you to be with me. I want to be in you, not just near you, in you. And I want to lead your life. I want to be Lord of your life. Lord, if you're working on somebody right now, they're feeling the heat of your conviction right now, Lord, because you love them, you're drawing them. They don't understand it. Can I just encourage you, if that's you here today, right now, that you would just say, Lord Jesus, I trust you, Lord. I ask you to come into my life. Lord, I ask you to take over my life, that I wouldn't live for myself anymore, that I would live for you. I know you died on the cross. I understand that. And I know you rose again from the dead. And I want to live a new life. I want to live for you, Lord. And I need the power, your power to do it. I'm trusting you for my salvation and for my eternity, Lord. And I'm trusting that you will help me to live for you. Empower me to do that, Lord. In every way, every day. And I ask this in the only name that can save. And that's the name, your name, Jesus. Would you just do that in your heart right now? In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now listen to me. If you've done that, I want you to come up, and I don't care who I'm talking to. I want you to come and grab my arm and say, Pastor, I want you to know I did that. I did that here today. And then I want to speak to you. And I know you probably want to run out of here. So listen, if you're not freaking out already, stay. Stay to the end and grab my arm and tell me that. And we'll meet and we'll talk about what God has just done and what God is going to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, George, for doing that. Now I need you to go 100 slides back. Okay. Thank you so much. I love it when we trust in the Lord. So we do have a lot to be thankful for. The boards, we wanted more of like a little post-apocalyptic look to the place. And of course, we wanted to make it. Last time there was a hurricane. I guess it's turned. I didn't even have time to look because I was so busy yesterday getting our house ready. It turned, yes?
No.
So, okay, a little bit? Okay. All right. So we still need to pray for folks, but...
As of this morning, it's a Category 5.
Wow. Well, thank you guys for whoever, thank you, Chris, and others who put up these boards. Very much appreciative, and so we're just very thankful. If anybody needs to stay here, this church is open, and we'll talk to you about that. Just see me about that. There's literally about 6 bags of fresh Panera bread. You would go in and buy this like $10 a loaf. They're all free from last night. It's fresh. Take them home. Chow down, take as many as you want. Don't be shy. Don't be like, oh, I only want to take one for my family, even though I need 5. Take 5. In fact, take 10. Give them away. Okay, tithes and offerings. There's a little bird box back in the hallway. You'll see that. That's where you put your tithes and offerings to the Lord. As you give to the Lord, as you trust in him, you put your tithes, and that just means a tenth, somebody asked. And so, again, we're welcoming Lester and Peggy here. From the mission field after a short stay, short-term mission trip of 48 years. And so we're just so thankful that continue to pray for them because that's a hard transition. 48 years. Please keep them in prayer. Give them hugs. Give them prayers. Just love on them if you would. I want to encourage you, if you haven't seen this movie, Overcomer. Some of my family have seen it. It says excellent. Still in theaters, if I understand it correctly. It won't be there for much longer, probably. Usually they don't keep the Christian movies for too long. But from the same folks that made War Room. And Overcomer is the name, so go see it on a date night. Now, I didn't have time to get all the baptism pictures because I was trying to get my house ready for the hurricane that may not come. So I just was able to get one picture, and that's from last Sunday of our new baptizees. Now, Gary's not here today, but our new this is just from last Sunday, and it was just an amazing, amazing time. And so right now, you guys know that everybody... The enemy's throwing everything at them except for the kitchen sink right before and right after. So they probably need your prayers even more right now. That what is God is doing in their life? Alan, you know, Daryl, Dale, Vicky, Lord, bless them and keep them and make your face shine upon them. Protect their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus' name, we pray. And we'll have more baptism pictures next week. I just wasn't able to do that. Also, Sunday mornings here, prayer, join us. Gary usually takes over that at 9 a.m. here. Men's Bible study on the first and third Tuesday. Is this the first Tuesday, Mark?
Yes.
Okay. Any idea what we're having?
Not a clue.
Okay, fantastic. So maybe even filet mignon. Is that possible? Not probable. Okay, bummer. All right. So we'll have some sort of meat dish like a barbecue, 6 p.m. dinner, and 6:30 Bible study. And Lord willing, as long as Gary is gets a little bit healthier, so please pray for him. Also, women's Bible study, second and fourth Tuesdays here at Home Fellowship Church. You can see the lovely and talented Erica Weaver for that. Youth group, the Whosoevers. We're meeting here, 6:30 to 8:30 this Wednesday. And I wasn't able to get a lot of pictures of the baseball game. We had about at least 20, 25 people. It was a fantastic time. Now, I had to make myself go because I was exhausted, and then I had the absolute best time. And so I only had like two quick pictures. But I want to tell you, was it Angelina? Where's Nick? I saw him. Okay, who was it Angelina who started the game?
Audrey.
Audrey actually started the game on the big Jumbotron. She's the one that said, play ball, right? All right. So she got to start the game. Betty got to do one of the shell things out there. It was just a great, awesome, fun time. I'll give you more pictures next week. And all right. I think it's our last Share Jesus Without Fear, either this week or next week on Thursdays. And then what are we going to do after that? I have no idea. So I will let you know. Yes, go share the faith. Amen. Experiencing God, it's coming up Saturday, September 7th. Gary is going to be in charge of that. It's $20 for the workbook. He's not here today to talk about it. It's a 14-week course. If you've never taken this course or haven't taken, I would encourage you with everything I am to take this course. Change your work schedule. Sign-up sheet, is it back there? Fantastic. Oh, good. Miss Lisa Shuttlebauer has the... Oh, that's handy. Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. So I basically just want to spend 1 minute on this. Please forgive me, because this is probably one of the most important Bible studies you ever take about learning to hear from the Lord. So what you'll get to learn, and it's a lot of work. So I just want to prepare you. I'm not going to, you know, pussyfoot around and say, oh, just take the course, show up. No, you come and you put in some work. You're going to probably do some homework. So I'm going to reverse sell it to you. It's a lot of work. Unless you're really seeking the Lord and you want to hear from him. That's the bottom line. But I'm going to tell you, you will see God working in a way, you'll start to see him working in a way that you maybe never even noticed before. And to a whole new level. Now, anybody who has taken this course will tell you that 1,000%. You will see God working in ways that you never even noticed. The next part of that is you'll see in a clearer way that God is the one pursuing you. He's pursuing a continuing love relationship with you. And it's real and it's personal. It's not religion. It's not blah, 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 coming to church. This is a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. It's incredible. Not only that, but God is going to, you're going to notice that he's going to invite you to become involved with him in his work. He's inviting you to take part in something supernatural that he's doing. You're going to notice this more and more. You're going to see it more and more. You're going to learn that God speaks. And I mean really speaks. He'll speak through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, through the church body, and directly to our hearts. You'll see that in a whole fresh new way. You know what? I'm going to even say this. Can I share it, Olivia? Can I share it? Okay. So even now, if you were here last week, I don't even remember what I said. Somebody asked, hey, can a teen take it? And I said, yeah, Isabel took it. And I said, Olivia, and I said, Olivia, why don't you share? And what she came after service to me, she said, Pastor, because she had taken the experience in God. She goes, I just wanted to let you know something. Like right before when you just started, God spoke to me. He said, he's going to call on you to give a testimony about experiencing God. And she's like, what? Why would he call on me to give a testimony about experience? And then I'm like, Olivia, would you give a testimony? She's like, wait, what? I thought I'd have more time. Yes. And then she shared it right then. But isn't it cool how God works? Then you're going to see that obeying God, that when God is speaking to you, that's going to lead you to a crisis of belief. And that requires faith and action. You're never going to grow in your walk unless you learn to obey God's word and obey when he's speaking to you. And then number six is you have to make major adjustments to join God in what he's doing if you want to see him work. And then the seventh reality that will really teach you is that you learn to experience God by obedience and by experience. I should say you learn to trust God by experience. As you trust in him, as you learn to obey him, you come to know him by experience. And you see something that only God can do. And then you're like, I want to do this more. So I want to encourage you. It's going to be Saturdays from 10 to 12. Sign up. It's $20. Commit to it. And don't let anything stop you. And then thank you, God, for this school. So much ministry goes on here. We just don't even have time to talk about today. But all right. For school?
No, for
experiencing God, yes. It's back by Mrs. Shuttlebauer, back by the calendars, September calendar. Yes, back in the back. Please, please, please. All right, open your Bibles to James chapter 5. We are cruising along. Thank you, brother. Oh, hey, by the way, since somebody has let me note, as you're turning to James 5, we've been supplying Isabel's family. She just lost her mom with meals this whole week, and I have 3 slots open for this week. If there's anybody who can help provide a meal for Isabel's family, yes? Ms. Shuttlebauer, how many people are in the household? With the sisters and the... Let's just say 5. So we need somebody for Monday. We have a slot open for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you can do that... okay, you want to do that? Okay, what day? Monday? Who wants... Okay. Okay, you want to do Friday? Great. Who can do Monday? Okay, anybody do Wednesday? Okay, you can do Monday? Okay, Diane, Monday... Thank you. Will you just text me? I need you to do that. Otherwise, I'll think, who was it again? When you'll text me too? Okay. And then who else? Who can do Wednesday? Anybody? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Or Debbie. All right. We'll talk to you guys. All right. So fantastic. Just text me and then we'll give you the information. All right. So we are talking about prayer in James chapter 5. We spoke a lot about it. Boy, I set stuff down. I am so ADD. And Nate, I know you don't need one more thing to do, but if you wouldn't mind each time. Thank you, buddy. Thanks, my friend. You're awesome. I don't care what George says about you. I think you're fantastic. That's good. I'll work it out. Also, if you would pray for Bobby, she is in the hospital this morning. If you would also pray for her. There's a hand up. I'm so sorry. Yes, Stan Lee.
Yes, I would like to say a little something about prayer.
Okay.
For the last 3 weeks, I've been praying for finances, stuff like that, because I'm putting a new roof on my building. And it took 2 weeks for the good Lord to answer me. The job that I work at, it, they said, okay, we're going to give you about 10 to 12 more hours, and you're going to get a raise. So they gave me a raise. And so I could have really used a raise, but the hours I could have dealt without. but you can't really outgive God, cause, you know, he'll do it every time. And it was awesome. It's just wonderful. I mean, it's going to be now, it's going to be 60, 65 hours a week, which...
When I said I wanted more money, I didn't mean like that. I just meant
but the yeah. But the Lord, yeah,
that's awesome.
It only took a little bit, but that was every day. Awesome. I had to pray. I prayed every day.
Thank you, Lord,
to help me with my finances and stuff. And my mother is coming to live with me, with my oldest brother. So that's
a lot of prayer for you for that.
Yeah, it's going to be something, you know. So, anyways,
that's right. Okay, Minnie, we're praying blessings on you guys right now. So we talked a lot about prayer. I think we got through one entire verse, verse 13. We talked about, you know, doesn't matter how we pray, and yes, God's more consistent. That's where we left off. We talked about God is more concerned with the position of your heart than the position of your body, okay? And we talked about the different ways that God could have us to pray. Again, he's concerned about our hearts, okay? Now this, to me, is an illustration, okay, of being a Christian without praying, okay? You are holy, and not in a good kind of way. There's a big piece of you missing because God has developed you to be in relationship with him. That's where instruction comes. That's where if you were a military, that's where the comms, you know, imagine not having any communication. You wouldn't know what to do. So this, with a Christian without praying, is you're missing a major section of who you are. So we need to be in prayer constantly. We need to learn to listen to the voice of the Lord, not our own voice, not the enemy's voice. Learn to hear his voice. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Jesus said to his disciples, like he would say to us, watch out, watch and pray so that you won't fall into temptation. That's Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. He says, the spirit is willing, but sometimes the flesh is weak. So we got to be watching. We got to be prepared. We got to be prayed up. Instead of just like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. We're all so taken off guard. We don't want prayer to be our spare tire. We want prayer to be the steering wheel that steers the car of our life. Does that make sense? Okay, not just the spare tire. The Bible says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places. So not only are you going to have trials from the world and tribulations like everybody does, but you also have an enemy that's trying to trip you up. Listen, he wants you to be a bad witness. He wants you to fall fat. He doesn't want you to grow. Oh, for crying out loud, don't, God forbid you decide to take that experience in God course. Woo, you better expect it. You better be prayed up because he's going to want to stop you. Oh, I just like to come on Sunday and that's about it. Well, God wants you strengthened and empowered. He has so much more for you. If you come on Sundays, there's nothing wrong with that. Thank you for that. You come to a Bible teaching church. That's fantastic. But God has so much more for you that he wants to do in you and through you. That's the truth. Now listen, when it comes to prayer, some folks find this helpful and some don't, okay? All right? And there are little tricks that folks have come up with. Okay, this is one, and they're not bad. It's ACTS, okay? It is a little, what do you call it? Acronym. Thank you so much. Is a little acronym, okay? So just to help you to pray, okay, sometimes I'm adoring him. That means I'm just like, Lord, thank you. I'm so glad I'm saved. Thank you for being in my life. I would be a terrible parent without you. I would be a terrible person without you, God. You know, confession. That's just Lord, confessing our sins to the Lord. Lord, I just ask your forgiveness. I ask you for help on this stuff, you know. So first one, adoration. Lord, you're so awesome. You're so wonderful. Confession. Lord, please forgive me. Thanksgiving. That's just giving thanks to him for everything. Bad times, good times. Giving him a sacrifice of praise and supplication. That's just a fancy way of saying we're praying for everything. Or another thing says, a little hand thing here. Petition, confession, intercession, thanksgiving, and praise. And intercession is one we didn't talk about. And that's when you're praying for someone else that's under a severe attack. And you kind of get in the line of fire. And you take the hits for them. That's some strong stuff. Huh? Supplication. That's when we're just making requests for everybody. Yes. Like Philippians 4, 6, and 7. If anybody wants these slides, just text me and I will give them to you. Free of charge. Okay, so we were going through some questions that people ask in prayer. So I'm just going to read verse 13 again. We got through one whole verse. It says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. And that's where we left off, and we'll get on to the rest. Here are some questions that people ask a lot when it comes to prayer. Okay? The first one is, can I pray alone? And the answer is what, folks?
Yes.
Absolutely. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 13. I'm just going to read a couple verses. It says, so when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth that they receive the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay? But it says when you pray. So you can go in, and the goal isn't, Lord. Now, if we pray together, that's okay, but the goal is not to bring attention to yourself. Oh, Pastor Darren, such a great prayer. I love it when that doesn't matter. Does that make sense? The other thing is, can I pray in groups? The answer to that is? Absolutely. And the reason why I give you biblical answers is because when it comes to the next thing we're going to talk about is healing, and there's so much bad teaching out there, I think by well-intentioned Christians, that it scares the snot out of me. So I want you to know biblical reasons for every answer I give you. So I know this is a lot. Somebody at one of the Bible studies this week was saying, when I first got there to your church, what's his church? But anyway, he goes, I didn't understand what you were saying. Because I didn't ever hear anybody preach like this. And, you know, they're going through the Bible and verse by verse. And I was like, I don't understand anything. But then over time, God's like revealing things and teaching things. And that's how it is. And so it says, can I pray in groups? Acts chapter 12. And I'm just going to turn to some of these. Usually I give you really cool slides for each of these things. But because I was busy prepping my home, no slides for you. There was a time when Peter and James were arrested, right? And they beheaded James. I don't know if you remember that story in Acts chapter 12. It was a doozy. And so it says in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says that, I'll read it to you. It says, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So they were all praying that he would be released. And so what happened was an angel came in, released him. Peter goes to the door, right? And he knocks on the door of where everybody's praying. It says in verse 12, I'll just let you listen to this. It says Peter said, when he realized that people were praying, he says, Peter, when it dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where people were gathered together and were praying. So they were gathered together and praying in a group. And if you remember the rest of the story, he knocked on the door as an answer to prayer. And what did these faithful prayer warriors do? Do you remember what remember what she did?
It's Peter at the door. And they said, well, go let him in.
They didn't believe her at first. If you remember, they're like, oh, I'm sorry. No, God, yeah, he's answering the prayer. So finally they let him in and they were all amazed that God answered the prayer. So Now, can I play publicly?
Yes.
Absolutely. But the goal is, remember, don't be like the hypocrite who's praying to be seen by other people. The goal is you can pray publicly, but just have the right heart in doing it. Matthew chapter 15, when Jesus, I'll just spare moving there just for time's sake. Matthew chapter 15, verse 36. Do you remember what, with the story of the bread and loaves? Do you remember that story? And he had all these breads and miraculously he was going to feed all these people, right? And it said that he stopped and he prayed in front of all the people and he gave thanks to the Lord. Do you remember that? In John chapter 17, if you ever want to read a great prayer of Jesus, John chapter 17, powerful. That could be your homework for tonight. Go home, read it. He's praying. He's like, and he's praying in front of all the disciples. Okay? So we can do that. Some people get all tied up around, I can't pray. Oh, I can't pray in groups. I can't pray publicly. I want you to know biblically, it's okay. Now, can I repeat my prayers to God? Yes or no? What?
Depending on the heart behind it.
Huh? Is he right or is he wrong? Pressure is mounting. Well, the answer, can I repeat my prayers to God? The answer is yes and no for that exact reason. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 to 44, remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying and he said, Father, if you can take this cup from me, please take it, right? But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, right? And he went and he says he prayed again and again. And in fact, that last verse, verse 44, in that, it says that he said the same thing. But it was coming from his heart. In Elijah's day, in 1 Kings 18, 42 to 44, he prayed multiple times as well. And Paul did the same thing when he was praying. Three times it said he prayed. So we can do that. But again, the goal is not to babble like pagans, okay? Or to just pray so that you have lots of words. I'm going to read this one thing to you. Here's the no, because I want you to understand it. Because so, it always has to do with the heart. In Matthew chapter 6, 7 to 8, it says this, and when you pray, don't keep babbling like pagans or using lots of words, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. So you don't have to big flowery 20-minute speeches in prayer. He knows. Just pray. Talk to him. Okay? Now those acts things are helpful, or the hand thing is helpful. For me, I just talk to him. Do you know what I mean? When I say he's my best friend and I talk to him, that probably might scare some of you. But I'm telling you, we talk. And those of you who know the Lord have learned to not only talk, you start to learn to listen and hear his voice. If you're not there yet, that's okay. But you're going to find out it's not just a monologue, it's a dialogue. Well, here's another question I get, and I get lots of questions. Okay, so why do we even pray then? We just read it. If he already knows our needs, why bother? Ah, that's true. Why do we pray if he already knows? Told us to. Yep, praise him. Yeah, good. Anything else? Yeah?
He says you have not because you ask not.
Oh, that's good too. Yeah. Good. Here's a couple things. We pray because he invited us to. He modeled it for us and he told us to do it. We pray to deepen our trust and our relationship with God. We pray to acknowledge our need and dependency on him. Prayer changes me and aligns my will with his will. I don't pray to get what I want done. I say, God, this is what I want, but what do you want? Just like Jesus. Not my will, yours be done. We pray to learn to talk to him and to hear from our heavenly dad. Every time I pray, I learn to cooperate with Jesus just a little bit more. And lastly, we pray because God does things and answers to prayer that he would not have done if we didn't pray, like Mark was saying. Yes, Martha.
In Matthew 6:7,
yeah,
it says, but when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do.
Yes.
For they think,
oh, sorry.
But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking.
Yes.
Which goes along with what you were saying, yeah. Just put in a lot of words.
Yes. God already knows. You know, just speak clearly. Just talk to him like you would a friend. You don't, you know, now if your heart, you know, like some people want to make it all flowery. You know, or they speak in King James English and think that that makes it more spiritual or something. Do you know what I'm saying? Trying to impress the people or to impress. Listen, you don't have to do that. Now, listen, if your heart, to me, if your heart is speaking King, if that's how you speak and that's how you speak into God, then do it. You know, if you would normally say, oh, if you're thinking how gracious he is and like he's a heavenly dad, say, gracious heavenly Father, you're so amazing, you're so awesome. If this is the overflow of your heart. But don't just put in a lot of words there. Gracious, heavenly, amazing, stupendous, encapsulating, you know, all-powerful, heavenly God. Wow. Oh, he's so spiritual. Do you know what I'm saying? Make sure you're just being real with God from your heart. That's what he wants. Sorry about that. Okay, a couple of hands up. One in the back. Can you run the mic back there? Jesus, King of Kings. I like your shirt. And all you have to do is testing 1, 2, 3. Yeah, you're good.
Got it. All right. So I think of human relationships. When we love someone, we shouldn't just stop telling them that we love them because they already know. You know, that's something that is good to continue to say, and so it is with God as well.
Absolutely. I tell my kids, I probably just like, you know, oh, it's dad, tell them. But you know what? I don't think that they get tired of hearing me say I love them all the time, different ways. I'm just, because I do love them. And I want to be, I just love them. So I tell them all the time, you know? Yeah. And you know what? I love it when they say it to me. Okay. I think we had another one up here. So I hope we can bring the mic to you. Thanks.
I just want to know if a prayer spoken out loud is more powerful than a silent prayer.
Okay. That's a fantastic question. Is a prayer spoken out loud? I gotta think how to answer this now. I'm gonna say, what will I say to that one? Ooh, that's a great question. I'm gonna tell you two things. I'm gonna say that God hears both your silent prayers when you're praying from just as much as he hears the out loud prayers. When you're speaking to God, it's not like, I can't hear it. Sometimes I'll pray and I'll just be like mouthing the words, or I'll just say them in my heart and without even anything. No, it's not like God's not saying, I can't hear you. What? Can you speak louder? Not hearing out loud. Now, with that being said, so do you understand that? So when you're speaking to God, either one is fine. Now, if there's some demonic activity in the house or something to that effect, you know what I mean? Well, then you know what? I want to speak that out loud because they're not omnipotent. And I want them to know that I am praying and I'm asking them to leave and to get out of here in Jesus' name by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm praying. Do you see the difference? That's a great question. All right, another question back in the back. Fantastic question.
One of the things that I have learned that when I had that question was that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to pray out loud,
yes,
even when you're by yourself, because there is someone that hears it. Mm-hmm. You hear it. Mm-hmm. You hear it while you're asking. And then as God answers, mm-hmm, then that increases your faith. Yeah. But we have to operate according to the word of God. And the other thing is that when we pray, we learn, what is it? Can I read those last four lines? It says, we pray to learn to talk with and hear from our heavenly dad. Mm-hmm. Every time I pray, I learn to cooperate just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Lastly, we pray because God does things in answer to prayer that he would not have done, mm-hmm, if we didn't pray. In Ephesians 3, verse 20. Mm-hmm. This one verse encapsulates all three of those. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. We give him that glory, praise, and honor. And we say, but Lord, I'm going to wait to hear from you through your Holy Spirit to ask for something that you want me to ask for specifically in this situation or for that person or for that need. And that's when that plugs in. We're being obedient to him. We're waiting to hear from him. We're asking him according to what he wants us to ask for. And that's when he does things that he wouldn't do because we didn't ask.
He wants us to ask. Just like
yes.
I love when my kids come in and they talk to me. And they and sometimes they'll be like, Dad, I know you're so busy. And sometimes I am really busy just to be, you know. Now, he's a heavenly dad, so the doors are always open for his kids. Do you know what I mean? Now, sometimes I'm all stressed and pressured, and Dad, I hate to ask you this, but you know what? I really like, as long as it's not a selfish, totally self-centered person, or what they're asking, but I love when they come and ask me stuff. I love it. And I say, you know what? Let me stop what I'm doing, and let me talk to you, because they're important to me. How much more our Heavenly Father? Could you hit those lights for just a second? But I would say, you know, honestly, if praying out loud helps you, by all means, go do that. To me, honestly, if I'm praying with someone, I pray out loud because I want them to hear what I'm praying. Okay? So that's helpful if you're praying with someone. You know, if I'm praying for someone, I want them to know what I'm praying most of the time. And so I'll pray out loud because I want others to be able to agree with me and to prayer. But it doesn't make you any more spiritual. It's not going to help you if you pray out loud versus if you... God can hear all those prayers. Now listen to this. This next one says this, and this is important. In verse 14, he goes on to say, okay, after his prayer, now is any one of you sick? He should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Okay, so that first thing in verse 14, it says, is any of you sick? That word, I don't know if I said this last week, is asthenēo in Greek, and it means to be weak. It means to be feeble, literally. It means to be without strength. So he's saying, is any of you sick? And it's a general term. So in other words, let's say right now, Erica, you are emotionally exhausted, like you have nothing left. He's saying, that's where I'm at. Then you need to ask for prayer in Jesus' name. And that prayer, God said, I'm going to meet you right where I am. Maybe some of you are mentally exhausted. Do you know what I'm saying? You're just like, I can't think of one more thing. My brain is shutting down. Maybe you are now, generally speaking, that asthenēo, okay, that speaks of a physical, okay? Generally speaking, like in John chapter 11, you remember the story of Lazarus? It says in John 11, 1 and 3, it says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is asthenēo, is sick. Okay, but it also could mean, again, spiritually, it could be emotionally, it could be, it says in Romans 14, 1, now accept the one who's weak in that faith. And that weak is that same word, asthenēo, sick in the faith. Or another translation that's a little bit easier for me to understand. Accept him whose faith is weak or without passing judgment on disputable matters. So, hey, if you're feeling maybe spiritually, you are just getting the snot beat out of you, okay? So if it's physical, if it's emotional, if you're just, then come, ask for prayer. Now, what does it say here? It says, if any one of you is sick, who should call on the elders of the church? Who should do that? Now, do you think that, why does that matter? Oh, I'm sorry. What now? Yes. That's exactly right. What did you say?
Humbling yourself.
Listen, you want to be prayed for? Well, look, there's something in us, right? There is something in us that we don't want to ask for prayer. I don't need nothing from nobody, right? But at least that's how I am apart from the Lord. I don't need anybody's help. I don't want anybody to think I'm weak, right?
No, I'm weak.
You know what? Here you go. I'm weak. I need the Lord. I need others to pray for me. Listen, because when I'm weak, I'm strong. So here's the deal. In my weakness, he is made strong. So God wants you. It's not on us to come. Well, what? Nobody called me when I was sick. Did you call and ask for prayer? Well, no. You know, I didn't even know. I didn't even know you were sick. Well, somebody should have told you. No, you should have told me. And you should have said, will you come pray for me? If you say come pray for me, we'll come pray for you. It's on, because, and here's the thing, he wants you to humble yourself before the Lord and before others. And he wants to say, you're saying, I need prayer. That's that desperation. Does that make sense? So you can go, I don't need it all you want. But that's just being prideful. You don't expect to get anything from the Lord in that way. Does that make sense, guys? Okay, I see a hand up over here, if you wouldn't mind being in that microphone. And we do, believe it or not, we do have people listening all over the country. So people do ask, if people, you don't use the microphones, they get mad. Not mad, but they're like, hey, I want to hear.
Okay, so I have trouble asking for prayer because I feel like it's selfish to ask other people to do things for me, like okay. I'm bothering them.
Okay.
And then it's stupid because when someone comes to me and says, hey, could you pray for me? I never feel like they're bothering me.
Right.
And yet something inside me is like, why should you waste their time? Like, it's all about you, blah, blah, blah. Right. So there's that other angle, too, that we don't want to put people out or seem selfish by redirecting okay. their attention to us.
I you know what? I will say I hear what you're saying there, okay? But you're right. When somebody asks, I can't think of a time when anybody has ever come to me, I have to make sure, in my life, where when they said, you know what, Darren, Pastor Darren, I really need prayer. You know, would you just take a minute and pray for me? And I'm like, oh my goodness, you're so selfish. There's tons of people that need prayer. Oh, all about you. Pray for me. Never have I ever thought that even once in 20 years. I'm always thinking, oh my gosh, thank you. Let me pray for you. What a privilege it is to pray. Can I just ask you, just by a show of hands, if anyone came to you and honestly, humbly, and said, will you please pray for me? How many here would count it a privilege to pray? Look around you. Look at the hands. Listen. And if you don't, then God's going to get you to that point where it will be a privilege. Now, it might be scary because you don't know how to pray sometimes. Sometimes I've just learned I'm a knucklehead, really. I'll just be honest. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. I got nothing. Will you pray for me? And I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, oh, poop, I have nothing. They're coming to me for prayer. So you know what I do?
Pray.
What?
Pray.
I actually know.
No, I
pray. I'll just say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to pray for this person. I'm just being honest. Lord, but they're coming asking for prayer. Will you help me right now? And I just wait. And then he starts putting stuff in my mind. And then all of a sudden, I'm praying for like 5 minutes. And they're like, oh, that was amazing. Can't believe you hit exactly. And I'm thinking, that's the Lord, really. You're such a good prayer. No, it was the Lord. I had no idea. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's a really great point. And you're not the only one who feels that way too, right? A lot of us can feel that. So don't. That's the enemy trying to stop you from humbling yourself and getting the benefit and the blessing from having other people pray for you. Isn't that true? Okay, back there. Yes.
Not only is it a privilege, it is a blessing. And when we don't ask, when we don't humble ourselves like that, we're denying that other person that blessing.
Oh, that's a great way to think about it. Yes. Good, good, good. Okay, I saw another hand up. Lots of hands. So we are cruising along here. But this is important. Okay.
Well, we covered this just a couple weeks ago. It was in James chapter 4.
Okay.
It says, but starting in verse 6, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God.
Yes.
Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yes.
That's how we do the walk. We humble ourselves, we submit to him, we draw near to him, and he draws near to us, and the enemy flees.
Yes. Now listen to this. It says this, that's good. Now listen. So he should call on the elders of the church. Right now that would be, you know, technically speaking, is talking. Well, here's one other thing. Can I say one other thing? Okay, forgive me. All right, listen. Here's what he's also saying. Listen to this. And you might not notice this. It's not normally taught, but he's saying, he's assuming, God bless you. He's assuming, he says, call on the elders of the church. That's just another word for pastor, okay? So Gary and myself, for example, would be like the elders of this church currently, okay? And God can add more as time goes on. But so he's saying, I want you to call on the elders of the church. That assumes that there's a church body, right? And an organized structure and pastors to this church body. Do you see what I'm saying? He's saying, I want you to go to the church, go to the pastor. So many people today, oh, I just don't think we really need church today anymore. I like to be with God just out in the country. And that's great. You can be with God in the country. Fantastic. I like God when I'm laying out at the beach on Sunday, listening to my jams. I'm still so spiritual with him. No, listen, God has created you to be in a body. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 approximately, says, hey, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Do you know what I mean? Get together all the more as you see the day. So get together, be in a body. He's given you different gifts because you have different abilities and gifts. He wants you to learn to grow together. As iron sharpens iron, so does one person sharpen another. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, it says, okay, and anoint him with oil, okay, in the name of the Lord. Now, here's two things. Anointing with oil. How do I even say this? Some believe this. That's more medicinal. And there actually is a verse in the Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan. If you remember that, when that guy got beaten up and robbed and the Good Samaritan came by. Said he put him on his donkey. He saw him there stranded. He was sick. He was hurting. And it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 34, that he bandaged him up. He put some oil on his wounds, right? Right? And he also put some wine, I guess, for, you know, anesthetic purposes. And it says that he brought him to the inn. So oil has medicinal properties. Okay, you guys, that's a little resurgence of that. doTERRA, Young Living, I get that. But that's not really, I don't think, what it's saying here. And like, for example, one person here, a wonderful woman that we love, broke her ankle about a year or two back, snapped it in half, was on heels, was going down the steps. I mean, literally, just, it's kind of gross. Yes. No. And so it was not very fun. And this super well-intended Christian went out there, and I wasn't out there because I was calling 911 or something, getting ice or something, and went and took some, I don't remember what kind of oil, and said, oh, this will help with healing of breaking bones, and was touching it with the oil. Now let me tell you, I listen, oils have helped a lot during the plagues of Europe. We use thieves' oil. We use a lot of that. So there's a lot of wonderful purposes for that. However, that's not going to heal the bone if it's snapped in half. Do you know what I'm saying? We can kind of sometimes take some of that stuff a little too far. What he's talking about here, you know, is anointing with, when he's, you're anointing with oil, it's more representation of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was always, when they would anoint a king, when they would do something like that, the Holy Spirit was represented by oil. So when he's saying, I want to anoint you with oil. Now here's some things. When we talk about healing, I have seen so many people, literally, their faith damaged and destroyed. Okay, so please bear with me. I've got a bunch of, these are questions that folks have asked, and I'm trying to answer them biblically. Okay, if you have any questions, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. Okay, give me some time. Let me go through them, okay? Here we go. I've seen, there's two camps, basically. There's one camp over here in Christendom that thinks God doesn't do any healings anymore. God doesn't do any miracles anymore. God doesn't do any, that was all sort of old-timey stuff. And we're just kind of left on our own truck through. And I'm not in that camp. Then there's another camp over here that says, if you just believe in faith, God's going to heal absolutely every disease and every this and every that. And if you just believe strong enough and you have enough faith and muster it up, you know, you'll be healed. Everybody's healed every time, all the time. And I am not in that camp either. And that's wrong. Both of those are, one totally denies so much of God's blessing and power. And one, man, that's going to shipwreck your faith. Because let me tell you something. At some point, you're going to get sick. You're going to die. Cardiac failure, something. There's a 100% chance. Unless the Lord does an Elijah thing and takes you up to be with him. That's going to happen. Okay, so here are some questions, all right, that I get. Chris, I'm sorry. Can you ask you to hit the light just for a second? It's more for me. I just want to get to a verse real quick. Okay, so bear with me, guys, but this is all, hopefully somebody will thank me. I try to make it complete. Okay, so why do we have sickness and death? Okay, and here's the deal. In the beginning, it was not that way. You remember with Adam and Eve, they sinned against the Lord. And it basically says in Genesis 3, it says that now it says that that we're cursed, you know, we're under the curse. It says that Lot's cursed, even cursed is the ground because of you. It goes on and on and on, thorns and thistles. And okay, so we have sickness, we have death because of sin and the curse, okay? And that's in Genesis 3. Now, here's a question. Does God heal Christians every time? Okay. Aha, I did put it there, I know, but I was rushed for time. I wanted to do it. Okay, but here is yes and no. Okay, now hear me out. Yes, ultimately. Can I tell you what? And that is, yes, he does heal everybody every time. Because even if you die, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will get to be with him forever. Listen, I'm going to read you from Revelation. And I got to read this at a wonderful brother's funeral. Was it last Sunday? Last Saturday? Here at our church. And I just want to read these two verses to you. Because ultimately, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, yes, you will be healed. It says this. It says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. That person was healed by the Lord completely. He was in a lot of pain, and now there's no more pain. And I want to tell you something else. That Revelation 22:3, it says that when you get to see the Lord, listen to this, no longer will there be, it says, any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb, it goes on to say, and his servants will serve him. But he says right in there, and that's in Revelation 22:3, that curse that we saw in Genesis 3, when you're with the Lord, the curse up in heaven is gone. There's no sin allowed up there. Does that make sense? Now, in a practical way, no, he doesn't heal everybody every time. 2 Corinthians, okay? And of course, there's lots of Bible verses, but for time's sake, I had to kind of narrow it down to pick just a few, because otherwise it just gets completely overwhelming. You guys will zone out, maybe like you're doing now. Right. Nice. That was painful right there, what you just did. You remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, it says that, man, Satan was buffeting him, and it said that he prayed multiple times that this thorn in the flesh, they think it was his eyesight, would be taken, that he would be healed. And now Paul was a guy that was so, that even people would like grab his handkerchiefs because that'll heal people. Paul was raising people from the dead. I mean, we're talking a man of faith, a man of power, right? He prayed multiple times, and you know what God said? My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I will supply what you need. So here's some more. Okay. Is all sickness a direct result of sin in a person's life? Well, some of you say, of course not. But let me tell you something. There are people who absolutely believe this, and they're crushed by it. Because they have had bad teachings from folks that don't know any better. Listen, do you remember the story of Job? Okay. His friends were like, you must be in sin because all this stuff is happening to you. Yada, 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 yada. And but in Job 1:8, it says, hey, he was talking to Satan. He goes, hey, have you seen my servant Job? There's no one like him. It says he's blameless. Yet God allowed that stuff to happen. That was not a result of sin in a person's life. Or John chapter 9. Listen, there was a healing of a blind man, right? Am I right? Okay, I'm going from memory here. Healing of a blind man in John chapter 9, 1 to 3, right? And God was healing him. Jesus was healing the person. And the disciples were like, wow, who sinned? What kind of sin was this guy doing? Was it him? Was it his parents? Who sinned? And Jesus said, neither of them. That's not why he's sick. He's being healed right now so that God could be glorified. Or Philippians 2, 27 through 30. And I'll be completely honest, I'm going to have to look that one up. I don't remember why I wrote that one there. Because that was, so give me just a second. Maybe Trophimus. Bear with me. And again, we always go back to the word for everything so that you know what it means in context. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. Epaphroditus. Okay. Let's see real quickly. Okay, there was a guy by the name of Epaphroditus, and it says that he was ill, and he almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not only him, but on me also to spare me the sorrow upon sorrow. And so here's this guy working for the Lord, and it says in those last verses, he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to help. So he got sick and he almost died. So he's working strongly for the Lord with the Apostle Paul. I'm sure the Apostle Paul was not like, I'm not going to pray for you. Okay, here's another one. Could sickness be a direct result of sin in a person's life? Oh, you guys are getting so good at this. The answer is yes. Hey, somebody do me a favor. Look up 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 30. Who wants to do that for me? Would you raise your paw? Okay, thanks. Oh, you good little lady. Yeah, and I'm going to go to Psalm 32. Yeah, sometimes I write this stuff down, and I'm used to having my slides up here. Give me just a second. All right. If you're ready with yours, and if we'll see if that's it.
I have labored and toiled. Is that the one?
Well, keep going.
Okay.
Tell you in a second.
I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Not feel weak. Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn.
Okay, now I don't know if that was what I was thinking.
I know.
Sorry.
Oh, you guys. I'm so sorry. I was in 2 Corinthians. Oh, my goodness.
How good. I'm thinking, why would I put that there? That makes no sense. I'm freaking out up here. I'm thinking.
Okay, and I have these contacts in for the first time, like, this week, and my eyes are all a mess.
Okay, that's right.
I'm kind of blind.
We'll hold it like this for you?
Yeah. Okay, 27. Let's try this again.
I shouldn't jump, so maybe it still doesn't make sense. Let's go ahead.
Okay. Oh, so 1 Corinthians, right?
Okay.
11.
Yeah, and okay. I'm nervous now. Now I'm doubly
27.
Nervous.
Okay. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Yes. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick.
Okay,
and
great. Thanks. That's good. Yes! Okay. So not yes for the verse, but it's just taking on the Lord's stuff in an unworthy manner. And listen to this in Psalm 32. Could sickness be a result of a sin in a person's life? Yes. And this is Psalm 32, verses 3 to 6. He's like, listen. Well, first he goes, blessed is he whose sins are forgiven and whose sins are covered. It says in verse 3, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. So he's just, man, he's not acknowledging his sin. He's just like that conviction is on him. It's making him sick. And he goes and then says, then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I didn't cover up my iniquity. I said, I'll confess and my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave my guilt of my sin. So, yes, it could be a result of that. If you're holding some sin in your life and your unforgiveness, and you're holding on to it in your heart, right, and you're just so bitter at that person, and you just hate them so much. I'm not going to tell everybody, how you doing? Great, doing great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hate them. That can actually cause damage in your body. Okay? Can sickness ever be a result of satanic activity? And the answer to that is yes, somehow. I'm going to go to Luke. I can't see my other scripture verses. When I was making it, I didn't... Yeah, I'm just going to read you that one, Matthew, Mark, Luke. I know this is a lot, dudes. It's important that you know this stuff for yourself. Okay, Luke 13, I'm there. I'm just going to read it. Yeah, let me, 10 to 16, it says verse 16. Give me a second. This is all fresh in my head the other day. Oh, yes. Okay, so this was a crippled woman healed on the Sabbath today. And basically, he ended up saying to her, just to make a long story short, in those verses, you can read them for yourself, it says when the Lord answered him, you hypocrites, because they were mad that he healed her on the Sabbath day. And so he's talking to those hypocrites and those Pharisees, and the Lord answered him, says, you hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to get water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on her Sabbath day from what's bound at her? And so there you go. So yes, it could be. Okay. Okay. Can and does God heal today? So the answer is, I'm going to speed it up here. The answer is yes, he does, okay? In a sense, all healings from God, sometimes he gives us wisdom, sometimes he gives us understanding, sometimes he gives us the ability. In 1 Timothy 5:23, he's saying, hey, I want you to take a little bit of wine and for your stomach's sake. Okay, so he's giving them that wisdom and that understanding. He gives doctors, there's herbs and things like that that can help us. And he's given us wisdom. He's given us understanding. The oils he mentioned in James 5, or the ability. Listen, in Colossians, some people will not go to a doctor. I'm just going to pray. Okay, well, you have a bacterial infection, and this will solve it. No, I'm just going to pray. No, you don't understand. This is life-threatening to you, to your child. No, I'm just going to pray. Listen, God is, Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, and Matthew 9, 12, they called Luke the beloved doctor. And Jesus even said, hey, listen, the sick don't, the sick need a doctor. And he was saying he was going to heal them spiritually, but he said the sick need a doctor. Now, there was a guy that that wrote a book. I can't remember the name of the book, Faith, Hope, and Love. And what he did was he was in that faith healing movement. And so he was offered a cure for his son, was dying. And he had faith, and he prayed in faith, completely confident. He had hope, completely hoping that the Lord would heal him. But he later wrote the book. He said that he didn't have love because God had provided a way to heal his son, and he didn't take it, and that boy died. Listen, if God has provided a way for you to be healed, and God could heal you. Listen, I've had folks here. People have prayed for me. I've prayed for folks going into surgery. The very next day, it's all gone. They do a CAT scan or MRI or whatever. It's completely gone. That has happened more times than I even remember, right? But if God chooses to use that surgical procedure and use the ability, wonderful. Praise the Lord. I'm praying that God would guide the doctor's hands however he wants to heal it. Does that make sense? All right, a couple more and then I got to stop because there's so much more to get. I've got tons of slides. All right. And a machine that works. Now, can and does God heal miraculously today, kids? Does he?
Yes.
Absolutely. If you're in that camp, listen, Exodus 15:26 is the first time it's ever used. But during the plagues, he's telling his people, listen, if you'll listen to me, if you'll obey me, I'll make sure that you don't get affected by this. I'll heal you. And it calls him Jehovah Rapha. And that means the Lord that heals. In Exodus 15:26. In Psalm 77:14, listen to this right here. God's word says, you are the God who performs miracles. Not you used to be, right? Or you were way back when, Moses' day, you are the God who performs miracles. In Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16, it says that all the apostles, if you want to read it for yourself, all the apostles are gathered together and they're doing miracles and healing the sick. And this is after Jesus rose again from the dead. His disciples are healing people. How about in Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 11? Read that one. And it says that, listen, it says the Holy Spirit gives different gifts to different people. And some of those gifts are the gifts of healing and the gift of miracles. To one, he's given this. Another, he's given this. So God still does that today. All right, two more. And just these are just so important. Maybe three more. Is it always God's will to immediately heal? The answer is no. Trophimus, it says that he left sick in 2 Timothy 4:20. Again, this is the Apostle Paul. He said, I had to leave him sick. In Miletus, I think is where it was. Or in 2 Corinthians 12:7 to 12 as well. Can a lack of faith hinder God's working? Yes, sometimes it can. In Matthew 13:58, he was back in Nazareth preaching and doing all this stuff. And they said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Don't we know this guy? Everybody's calling him the Savior, the Messiah, this Jesus. And it said that he couldn't do many miracles there because people didn't have any faith. The solution is, if we don't have a lot of faith, is in Mark chapter 9:24. When they came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, this guy had a son that was throwing himself into the fire and epileptic seizures. And Jesus said, do you believe? And he said, I don't know. Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. And the Lord took him right there, helped him with his unbelief, and healed his son right there. And does no healing indicate a lack of faith? Let me tell you something. I got to be careful with my mouth. This makes me angry. There are many, many churches that will tell you a friend of mine who was a Manatee County detective, we were friends for many years. He told me a story of, he came from that environment and he was a deacon in a particular church. And there was this poor guy. This is what when he got out. There was this poor guy who was in a wheelchair. And they brought him up there and said, do you believe? Do you have faith? And he's like, I do, I do. Then in the name of Jesus, you need to get up and walk. And you see him, he tried with all his might. He was trying to get up. And he finally made it. He finally stood up. And then he said, now I want you to jump. And my friend said, I was watching this, and he goes, I knew it was, he just, the pastor was, and so this poor guy, best he could. Now, again, I've seen God heal a zillion times, literally more times than I can count. I have to think of ways I haven't seen him heal people. So this guy, poor guy, jumped. And when he jumped, he collapsed to the ground. And then this pastor's saying something like, well, obviously you don't have enough faith. Get him off the stage and go, that's, and I'm, That makes me angry. Don't, you know what? He's probably well-intended, but he's, that's sick. But there are whole church groups that do this, guys. So listen, if that were true, we'd all be 500 years old. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody is going to die at some point of something. Does that make sense? Okay, listen, we have to kind of stop. Forgive me because I already went over. But listen, we're going to deal with next week. What do you do when God says no to your prayers? Why would he do that? We're going to answer a whole bunch of questions. Why does God not answer some of your prayers? And I actually have slides for all those. That's why I wanted to get to them. But we're going to stop right here, okay? And then if anybody has any questions, Martha, I know you did. So if anybody has any questions, you're welcome to come up and ask me. This is so, so important that you get taught and taught the right way. So does everybody understand? God is a God who heals, yes? Okay, he sure is. And there's more to go, and we'll ask. It's according to his will. There's so much more, so don't go out of here. If you're confused about something, call me, text me until, I hate to break it here, but we're already at about 12:10. So please, please, please come back next week so that you can understand all of what God has to say. Does that make sense? Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this group, Lord. Thank you for this group of people who desires to hear your word. I pray that you would stir them up, Lord, that they would want to know you in such a real, personal, intimate way, that they'd want to know the truth of your word, Lord, that they wouldn't be blown around because they're by every wind of doctrine here and every wind of doctrine there, of just what they feel or what they think or what they heard, but they would go back to your word for everything, and that would be the foundation of how they live their life, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you would make that happen in each one of our lives. So, Lord, help every person here to surrender fully to you. Help them to ask for prayer if they need it, Lord, and to not be afraid, Lord God. And as we even discover next week, Lord, to even ask one another for prayer. Lord, so do a work, Lord. Stir us up in that area, Lord. Help us to be all that you want us to be. We love you. We bless you. And I thank you for this wonderful body of believers. And I ask that you would bless them and protect them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day in Jesus' name.